Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. I'm delighted to bring back one of my favorite guests. You all know her, Jane Bryan Quinn. Is a personal finance expert and AARP Bulletin columnist and author of Making the Most of Your Money Now. Hey, Jane, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Steve. I'm always good to talk to you and to your listeners.
You know, I understand you got a new book coming out. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's coming out in January. It's called How to Make Your Money Last, and it's for people in the 50s, 60s, early 70s. You're planning your retirement, or maybe you just retired, and you have a certain amount of income and a certain amount of money, and you have no idea how long you're going to live.
Right.
So the big question for them, for me, for all of us, is how do you stretch your money over that period of time so you can feel secure? And there's a lot of very interesting research that's being done in that area, and I pulled it all together and made a book out of it.
Sounds great. You know, that is a topic that we discuss constantly in our practice, and it's probably the key issue of the day for those who are getting ready to retire or are already retired.
Yep, definitely is, because you can overspend and then you're stuck as you get older, or you can underspend and you've deprived yourself of a pleasanter life. But mostly you're just not sure how much you should spend.
That's right.
And it's getting your mind around a target that said, you know, I think this is going to be okay. You can always make mid-course corrections, but getting your mind around what's a good number so that you don't worry about it all the time.
You know, changing gears here a little bit, you recently wrote an article for the AARP Bulletin, and it was about the fact that the ideas about marriage are evolving in our society, and new questions are emerging about whether financially it is in the interest of both parties to consider tying the knot, whether it's gay marriage or marriage between older adults. The answers are not so cut and dry anymore. You know, Jane, it used to seem so easy. What is different today, and what things does one have to consider before entering into wedded bliss?
Well, there are a lot of financial issues, and I would say especially for older couples, but not just for older couples. The emotions apart, and the party, and the ring, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting that part of marriage on the side, right?
Right.
We're just looking at the finances. There's a lot of, you can get Medicare if you don't have an account of your own, if you get married to a spouse who does. There are state and federal survivors benefits. You can make medical decisions for each other, even if nobody's signed a medical care proxy.
Mm-hmm.
You get better tax benefits. If you inherit an IRA and you're a spouse, you can just roll it into your own IRA and keep on deferring the money for as long as you want, which you cannot do if you are a non-spouse.
Mm.
So there are some good things financially that just say, well, of course we should get married.
Right. So there are just some definite benefits to getting married financially. And also spouses have the right to inherit if their mate dies without a will. But Jane, anybody who reads you and listens to me, of course, has a will, right?
One would hope so. That should be right up at the top.
That's given.
When I write, I just sometimes put in parentheses, well, of course you have a will.
Of course you have a will. I don't know.
Why should I write? Well, you should have a will.
Yeah.
And so when you don't marry, you can get many of these same benefits. But when you marry, you get a joint tax return.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's good for you. Other times that's bad for you. So you can't clearly say.
Sometimes these benefits do come at a cost, which can make them more disadvantageous. So let's talk about some of the downside financially to getting married.
Well, sometimes you might be collecting a pension or a survivor's benefit. Widow and widowers of public employees, for example, might lose the pension if they remarry.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
If you're collecting survivor's benefits on your late spouse's Social Security account, you'll lose them if you remarry before 60. Now, maybe you'll pick up better benefits from your new spouse, but at least you have to take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things for me is long-term care. In many states, spouses are responsible for each other's medical bills including bills for long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
And you can write a prenup agreement that says, well, you know, we're independent, financially independent, and you know, we'll each pay our own long-term care, that sort of thing. But in fact, the laws will trump that. They'll say, I don't care what you said in the prenup agreement,
mm-hmm.
your spouse has to go into a nursing home, and if the spouse doesn't have enough money, you're going to have to pay. And it, whereas if you were in a live-together agreement, you are not responsible for those long-term care bills. Of course, there's a downside to that, Steve, as there always is.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a live-together agreement and you're living in your partner's house and he goes into a nursing home, okay, you don't have to pay his bills, but you can't stay in the house anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to balance this. But long-term care is a really big issue for people to think about, especially at later age marriage.
Yeah, there are state Medicaid programs which cover most or all of the nursing home expenses for people with modest income and assets. But what are the trade-offs in order to receive those benefits if you qualify?
Well, to receive the benefits, you have to, if you have assets of your own, you're going to have to surrender a certain amount of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a live-in arrangement with your partner and you go into a nursing home, your house, your car, your money, everything is going to be used to support you.
Mm-hmm.
And your live-in partner is only going to have his or her own benefits or own money. Whereas if you're married and you go into a nursing home, your spouse is going to be able to keep the house, a car, a certain amount of assets. So when you look at when this kind of thing comes into your thinking, as it does for older couples, you've got to just take a look at if you have to go into a nursing home, what the effects would be on the spouse or partner. And, you know, people usually don't think about that
right.
until or unless they've had personal experience with it, maybe a parent or maybe, in my case, my late husband was quite ill for some time and I took care of him at home. We didn't go into a nursing home, but it was very expensive. And once you go through something like that, you realize that you need long-term care planning as well as... And in fact, Steve, I am a very fortunate widow. I have remarried a lovely man, but one of the things that I requested was that he get long-term care insurance.
Oh, I see. Was that a... that was a pre-qualification?
Would have been a deal-breaker. I said, I've done that once. I'm not going to do that twice.
Well, you know, some people ask for diamond rings and stuff. You wanted... you want a long-term care insurance policy.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's an age thing. You know, when you're young, you want a diamond. When you're old, you want your spouse to have long-term care insurance.
Exactly. That says a lot. But that's why you're a personal finance expert, because that's how you think. My guest, of course, is Jane Bryan Quinn. She writes for the AARP Bulletin, and her last book was Making the Most of Your Money, and now she's got a new book coming out in January called How to Make Your Money Last. By the way, for our listeners, if you want to hear this again, don't forget to come to our website and join our conversation at onthemoneyradio.org. Jane, let's get back to Social Security a little bit, because I think that touches everyone. And I think some of the ramifications are a little confusing. So if you are married and if you remarry at a later age, in terms of your benefit, what changes can take place?
Well, if you remarry and you're under 60, if you were getting any benefits from your late, well, you wouldn't. If you're under 60, you wouldn't have been getting
right.
the benefits. Well, you might have been getting survivor's benefits.
Okay.
And if you're under 60 and you remarry, you are going to be on your new spouse's Social Security account. If you're on that account at all, you know, so many people, they look for spousal benefits and then they discover when they apply for them that, in fact, if they've worked any length of time and have a retirement benefit of their own, it's probably going to be better than their spousal benefit. So this business of a spouse losing a survivor's benefit if you are under 60 and you marry somebody else, you know, that is happening less and less simply because people have retirement benefits
yeah.
of their own.
Yeah, more and more women have worked and so on. So
that's right, and it's quite surprising. I mean, a lot of people think, well, the woman has to have had, you know, a professional job and
mm-hmm.
a big salary, but actually you could have had a very modest job for, you know, 20, 30 years or whatever, and your retirement benefit will still be better than your spousal benefit. So you are basically looking at what your own benefit will be.
So, you know, when it comes to relationships, feelings ultimately rule the day. I mean, marriages have other benefits. You know, it confers social approval, maybe a sense of security, and also living together, you know, reflects the trust built up over many companionable years. But obviously, financially speaking, one really has to look very hard and deeply at what the consequences are of making that kind of a decision. Who would be the best professional for someone to talk about these issues?
Well, I think the best professional is going to be a financial planner. And as you know, I always say a fee-only financial planner, because if you speak with a financial planner who takes commissions, they will sell you an annuity to solve all your problems.
Right.
So it's very, very important. What you are just trying to do is to sort out your own personal finances and not try to buy something, that you be with a fee-only planner who will charge you for the time but will help you think through what these issues are. But speaking of spouses and Social Security, Steve, as you know, Congress delivered a bombshell last week on Social Security as it affects married couples. And there were a couple of marvelous loopholes. I do agree that they were loopholes, that they were marvelous.
Too good to be true.
That let couples of means collect, if you did claiming times right, you could collect a spousal benefit and while your own benefit
accrued.
Left your own benefit alone and it increased by 8% a year between 66 and 70, and then you could switch to your own benefit. It was an absolutely beautiful thing. But Congress, all of a sudden, I mean, I had no idea it was coming, did you?
No, not at all.
From nowhere.
It was a shock.
And Congress just closed those loopholes, bang. And if you are 62 now or older, 62 or older, you can still collect those benefits for most the next 4 years, until you're 70. So they grandfathered in everyone who is eligible by age. You don't have to have started it, but you have to be 62 this year to get it.
Also, there is a window, and that window, you can still do this file and suspend strategy until May 1st.
Yeah, there's a very brief six-month window.
Yeah.
But for the particular file and suspend strategy, but for the other strategy, you can, to collect your spousal benefit and then your own retirement benefit just by, you know, using that loophole, basically, what you call it. That's still good for people 62 and older until they become 70. The short window, I don't think many people are going to make it through because there aren't that many people eligible, but people 62 and up can still go to their planners or can still look at the rules and say, hey, what can I do? And you can do something. But if you are 62 next year, you're out. You're
okay.
Done.
Good.
No more loopholes.
Also, another professional one should seek out is an elder care attorney who is also very, very aware and versed on these kinds of issues about marriage as well. My guest, of course, is Jane Bryan Quinn, and she has a new book coming out in January called How to Make Your Money Last. Jane, thank you so much for joining us again.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Money with Certified Financial Planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.